This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, definitely the best mouthguard out there on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order. Tuesday, May 29th, we're getting into another good one. Episode 14 of the podcast, let's let the beat drop. Alright, like I said, getting into another good one. So, I went 17 for 21 with my picks. That's good for 81%, so I'm back in the win column. I was around 60%, 62.5% the last couple weeks. So back above 75, that's where I like to be. That's one of the benefits of listening to the Fight Night Picks podcast. I like to break down cards for you, whether they're cards that you might not be having a look at, some from abroad. You've got M1, ACB, One Championship, and they could just be regional cards. I usually profile LFA and different cards like that, as well as boxing fights. So right now I'm going to profile and go over LFA 40, that was this weekend. We went over M1 on Friday's podcast, and then I'm also going to go over Bellator 200. Zane and I will break down UFC from Liverpool. We're going to break down Friday's card from Utica, and then I'll give you my up-and-comer, and that's our episode. So, fights from this past weekend, like I had said, LFA 40 was coming at you on Friday from Dallas. Your main event was a title unification bout between Kevin Aguilar and Than Lee, both of them. Aguilar 13-1, Than Lee 8-1. And so there was kind of talk, winner of this fight possibly signing a UFC contract. It'd be great to see some new talent in the featherweight division, of course. And Aguilar was able to get the first round knockout and retain his title. So I saw Nolan King on Twitter. He was one of the people that had said that, Aguilar definitely deserving of a shot at the UFC. And it was an impressive title defense. So keep your eyes peeled for Kevin Aguilar possibly hopping over to the UFC and finding some success. As well, the co-main event, you had 14-2-1 Damon Jackson taking on 21-3 Jeremy Spoon. My pick was for Jackson to get the win. He had some experience in Bellator and the UFC, and Spoon was more of a regional type fighter. So, Jackson, he was able to get the second round finished by rear naked. And he seems to be kind of poised to make his way to a bigger promotion once again. So maybe a guy that you see again in the UFC or possibly in Bellator as well. That was LFA 40. And then also on Friday, it was from tape delay, or it was on tape delay rather from London. You had Bellator 200, and I had to keep myself off Twitter from spoiling it. So I ended up watching the entire main card on the Paramount Network Friday night. And I had an idea of a few of the results when Ty and I were recording the podcast. Of course, the undercard was going on, and didn't want to spoil it for him, but I had my Bellator 200 picks already up on the website, fightingpicks.net, so I was right on this one. The only fight I got wrong was the main event, so undercard fight of note, I had mentioned you had 4-3 Charlie Ward. He was taking on Martin Hudson, who was a late replacement. Most people know Charlie Ward. He fought in the UFC, had a couple of pretty meaningful losses, I guess, and then back over to Bellator. His last fight, it was Bellator 187. I mentioned it. It was a KO win over John Redman, and that was when Connor had jumped into the ring. Fight wasn't really totally over, I didn't think, and then he got into a bit of a shoving match with Mark Goddard. So not good stuff from Connor. That was kind of where he started to spiral a bit out of control. But, Charlie Ward, you watch the fight, he dominated the action, he got the fight to the ground, and was able to get the ground and pound first round TKO finish. So, good for Charlie Ward there, 5-3 now, and the fellow he was against there, Martin Hudson, now has a sub-500 record. Going over the main card, I had said Seabass, Shipman, he was 11-1, lost his debut, won his last 11. He was taking on 7-2 Carl Noon. Noon hadn't fought in 7 years, and it definitely showed. It varies, but most websites would tell you it was a 10 or 11 second win. You know, Shipman, he threw a right. It was kind of a wonky right. It wasn't really a hook. And it dropped Noon, and then he followed it up by ground and pound. So good win for Shipman. Definitely a guy that you should keep your eye on. 12 wins in a row. And another big fight that Ty and I had talked about on Friday. You had undefeated Anastasia Yankova. She's taking on the scrappy Kate Jackson. Jackson, hometown gal, favored to win the fight. Ty and I had both agreed that Jackson would come away with the win, and she dominated the action. Whether it was on the feet, on the ground, grappling, you know, she was right there. And it was a dominant win. So good decision win for Kate Jackson. Not really sure what's next for her, but it's a good flyweight division there in Bellator. You know, she'd lost her her last fight to Valerie Letourneau. So good win for Kate Jackson to get back in that win column. And I mean, again, she'd fought on the Ultimate Fighter. She had some pretty big wins. So definitely a bright spot for Bellator for sure. Another fight on that main card that kind of was a bit of a head-scratcher for me. I wasn't totally sure why it was on the main card, but it made sense because I'm sure it it helped out the ratings for Bellator over there in the UK. You had Jordy Shore alum Aaron Chalmers. He had the quick guillotine finish. You know, some people on Twitter I'd noticed called it a fixed match, but if you actually go over and you watch the tape again, I mean, Ashley Griffiths, he's now 4-7, but when Chalmers, before he went in for that choke, he had Griffiths rocked, like totally rocked. He probably could have finished the fight by you know, TKO, but got him into the guillotine, and Griffiths' arms are completely outstretched. It didn't look like he was totally defending the choke, and then he just kind of dropped him, and the way he kind of fell, people said, oh, well, that's kind of fake. He kind of broke his fall, but I didn't really agree with that. I think it was a good fight, and definitely good for Aaron Chalmers to get the win on the main card. They had the Jordy Shore cast there by the side of the ring. I mean, they had Chris Pratt, they had 50 Cent there. Like, Bellator was really trying to make a statement with this event. Of course, I mean, the 200th. And as well, I saw that Scott Coker had announced that they're possibly going to have, you know, almost like a, it sounded like an Ultimate Fighter type tournament happening in the UK, but for, you know, Western Europe. So good to hear from him. Another fight on the card that, you know, we kind of slept on in our predictions, but you had Phil Davis taking on Linton Vassell. Davis hadn't finished a fight since 2015, but he was able to throw a close range, high right kick and finish the fight in the third round. I mean, he looked really good. And afterwards, I had seen from MMA junkie Steve Morocco and Abby Subban, you know, he wants a title fight and he considers himself number one contender. And I mean, again, following with what MMA junkie had reported, those two had reported fight after that. I guess MVP's only got one fight left on his contract, and he's one of the most exciting fighters out there, regardless of promotion. So his fight was a co-main, 12-0 going into the fight, taking on David Rickles. I had said Rickles, more of a lightweight, smaller guy. He's good at wrestling, fought Michael Chandler a couple times, some losses, and Patricky Freire as well. But really great guy. Paige was coming back to MMA. Distinguished kickboxer, had just fought in his first professional boxing fight last year, and you know, he tested himself for sure against David Rickles, but he was able to come away with a decisive win. Made Rickles kind of, it was probably called a TKO due to submission. He had really pieced up Rickles' eye there, and Rickles decided he wasn't going to continue. So I mean, what's next for MVP? One fight left on the contract, who knows? Main event, I didn't pick it properly. I had Rafael Carvalho with a decisive win. That's what I thought was going to happen, you know, whether it went the distance or whether Carvalho was able to get the KO. You know, Gegard didn't look too hot in his debut against Flamenco. So that was kind of what had me on the fence, I'd say, more or less picking Carvalho to win. But Tide said take Gegard. He was right. You know, it's hard to slight Gegard. He was able to finish the fight, get it to the ground, and win by TKO. You know, it kind of reminded me of the Luke Rockhold David Branch fight. He had him all the way laid flat out, had the body lock, and now he's the new middleweight champ. So you know, it could set up a possible super fight against Rory McDonald. I know that's what the talk was. You know, you'd have your welterweight and your middleweight champs light it up. So pretty interesting fights to be made in Bellator. Pretty interesting to see what they're going to do. And again, Alexander Shlemenko, like I had mentioned, he's got a fight coming up this week that I'll be previewing for you. So I thought the biggest card this weekend was going to be UFC Fight Night 130 in Liverpool. I put out a poll yesterday and I said, in hindsight, what was the best event from this past weekend? Your options were LFA 40, Fight Night in Liverpool, Bellator 200, and M1 Global Challenge 92, which again, that was on Thursday, but kind of lumped it in with this weekend's card. So 38% said Fight Night Liverpool, 63% with Bellator 200. You know, in hindsight, yeah, I think Bellator had the better event. They definitely stacked the card. Like I said, you had the hometown guys. They came out. They were able to pull out the wins. You know, Kate Jackson, great fight that she had. And then as far as Liverpool, I mean, let's go down through the card and see what happens. So your main event, it was hyped. You had Stephen Thompson coming off a win. You know, he had a draw and a loss to Tyron Woodley. And Darren Till, you know, 16-0-1 going into the fight. What's he going to do? He had missed weight. Had to weigh in the day of the fight at 188, did so, and people weren't sure what was going to happen. Ty and I, when we had talked about it last Friday, you know, we were kind of on the fence, I guess. I was pretty set with Till, you know, but we anticipated a strikers matchup, and, you know, they were both probably going to be on the defensive looking to counter-strike, and that's exactly what happened. It was 5 minutes of it, or 5 rounds of it, sorry. You know, Till ended up near the end, he dropped Thompson, and that pretty much sealed the victory. I mean, I thought it was pretty cut and dry based on octagon control. I thought Till won round two and rounds four and five as well. You know, Thompson came ahead with a blitz of punches a few times, which is good for him, but, you know, it won him a couple rounds, but it didn't win him the fight. You saw a lot of kicks here and there, but they didn't seem to land. It was kind of a feeling out process. It really reminded me of the two Woodley fights that Thompson had. And like I said, I mean, Darren Till, as soon as you go ahead, you'll find success. Just like we saw Woodley have at 205. So, you know, not really sure what matchups are to be made after this. You know, I'd like to see them give Thompson somebody that's kind of an opposing style, if you will. Just to kind of showcase what he can still do. I mean, his karate's insane. It's the best in the game. And for Darren Till, you don't know. Do they give him Usman? Do they give him the winner or the loser of RDA and Covington? Does he get a title shot? I'm not too sure right now. You know, that welterweight division is kind of hard to gauge, in my opinion. So Darren Till, able to win in front of the hometown crowd. It sounded like it was nuts on TV. And it looked like a good show there. So good for Darren Till. Your co-main, you know, Neil Magny, Craig White, I had it pretty cut and dry. It was a first round TKO win for Neil Magny. Doesn't really do a lot to raise his stock. And for Craig White, you know what? It's actually pretty good for him. You get your first UFC fight under your belt. You're fighting a top 10 guy in Neil Magny. And it's a good starting point, I guess, for Craig White, and good for him to be in the UFC as well. Fight before that, you had Arnold Allen, Mads Brunell. That was kind of interesting. I had Brunell winning the first two rounds, I thought. You know, Arnold Allen training with Frost over there at TriStar. You know, you kind of, I had him pick to win, and didn't he pull out the submission in the third round? So, good win for Arnold Allen. He was kind of in dire straits there for a little bit, but good win. Fight that you had before that, you know, Jason Knight ended up losing by split decision. It's kind of his own fault. Not a lot of action in that fight. You know, there's a little bit of trash talk going into it. The guys didn't like each other. At the end of it, they seemed to be pretty friendly. But Makwan Amirkhani ended up getting the win. I found it tough to score again. I thought Knight had won the fight. But, you know, I guess that's just the way it goes when you let it go to decision. You had also Nordin Taleb, Claudio Silva on your main card. Taleb ended up getting a loss. You know, Silva had been off for an extended period of time, got the rear naked choke. Looked really good in that fight as well. Not a lot of ring rest for him. And then the other fight on the main card, you had Darren Stewart and Eric Spicely. And, you know, Ty and I, we thought it was pretty cut and dry. Spicely was going to be able to get the win. But Darren Stewart with the second round KO finish. So good for him in front of the home crowd. Great win. Other than that, you know, on your undercard, I was excited to see Dan Kelly fight, get knocked out in the first round. Thought that the Gina Mazzani Lena Landsberg fight was going to be good, just where they were both ranked in the top 15. You had 14 and 15. Ended up going to be a decision for Landsberg. It was kind of a snoozer of a fight. Before that was my pick for fight of the night. Carla Pietrasoli and Brad Scott. You know, I thought it was a good fight for Peter Soli. It was the exact same game plan he had for Nicholas Dalby, and you can't fault him there. I mean, he took the fight on like 2 weeks' notice. He threw a straight right and then a right high kick, and it worked for him against Dalby. Dropped him, and it worked for him against Brad Scott. I thought it was definitely going to be a unanimous decision. I thought he won all the rounds, but ended up going split. And then you also had the Canadian Jillian Robertson getting the W over Molly McCann. First fighter, I think, this year who was overweight and ended up losing a fight. And you also had Elias Theodoru and Trevor Smith as well. That was your early fight past prelim. Just a note, Elias Theodoru in his last fight actually beat Dan Kelly, so I was kind of surprised to see him on the early fight past prelims rather than on the prelims where Dan Kelly was, but that's kind of the way it goes. So the podcast is proudly brought to you by First Show Collectibles. Head on over to firstshow.ca. I mean, I was over there today. They've got MMA autographs, wrestling memorabilia, hockey cards. The list goes on and on. I mean, Stanley Cup Finals right now between Vegas and the Washington Capitals. They've got Ovechkin cards on there. They've got a 50 cent bin. It's kind of neat. I saw Grady Sizemore, Montreal Expos rookie card. They've got some Andy Moog and Wendell Clark signed cards. So lots of neat stuff over there. Definitely stuff our listeners would be interested in. If you go over, use the promo code FNP at checkout. You'll get free shipping. And to our American listeners, prices are in Canadian dollars. So look at it this way. You're probably going to save about 25% if you order from First Row. We're also brought to you by the Sisu Mouth Guard. Like I've said in the past, I reached out to them. I've had the mouth guard for a few years now. I've had a couple of them. It's a boil and bite mouth guard. If you head on over to our website, on my main page, I've got a banner ad from them. Kind of shows you basically what the mouth guard's all about. It's a much thinner mouth guard than other boil and bites. Very comfortable. You can eat, you can drink with it in. You can, if you're in MMA, you can keep it in and talk to your corner. If you're playing hockey, definitely you can yell across the ice to your teammates and relay the message rather than have those great big bulky mouth guards where you can't hear anybody say anything. I mean, you saw it this weekend, UFC in Liverpool. Elias, when they went to interview him, had to take the mouth guard out because you couldn't understand him. So head on over. Their website is sisuguard.com. Enter the promo code FNP10 to receive 10% off your order. Definitely a great mouth guard, and have a look at their website for sure. So right on into this week's up-and-comer. You know, he's fighting at this Thursday's M1 Global Challenge 93, coming at you from Chelyabinsk, Russia. You've got Magomed Cobra, not Magomed Tiger. He fights in ACB. Magomedov. So Cobra, he's 8-1 welterweight, fighting at home this weekend for Magnitogorsk Chelyabinsk. He's got 7 submission wins as a pro, and his last 2 wins have been by scarfhold armlock. So he's making his M1 debut. He's taking on a guy, 2-2 Nikita Podkovalnikov. And, you know, expect another submission win for Magomedov. If you've got the time on Thursday, M1 Global Challenge, it starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. And I'm going to make my picks today. So my up-and-comer, Magomedov. Have a look at that fight if you've got a chance on Thursday. Your main event, middleweight main event, 57-10. You know the name, Alexander Shlemenko, taking on 17-6 Bruno Silva. Like I had said earlier, Shlemenko, he lost his last fight against Gegard, making his return to M1. You know, some of those contracts, they kind of go, you can fight in Bellator, you can fight in M1, it's not a big deal. He's fighting Bruno Silva, who's making his M1 debut. It's his second fight in Russia this year, and all of his other pro fights took place in his home country, Brazil. He actually has 14 knockouts on his record, so 17 wins, 14 knockouts. But expect Shlemenko to put on a great fight in front of his home crowd, and expect Shlemenko to get the win there. Your co-main event is for the middleweight championship belt, actually. So they're going to have the championship belt fight before another middleweight fight, which might sound a little bit strange, but you've got 10-0 champ Artem Frolov. He's taking on former UFC vet and Maine native, 48-17-1 Joe Riggs. You know, Riggs, he's got 7 wins and a draw in his last 8 fights since leaving the UFC. Frolov, he's got 4 knockouts and 4 submission wins in his last 10, like I said. And he beat Siaw Magharis, who just fought here recently in M1. Beat him by decision last October. So pick the champ, Frolov, to retain his belt. But that should be a really entertaining fight. And, you know, a lot of you UFC fans would recognize Joe Riggs for sure. Another big fight, I'd say, on the card, another person that would be recognizable from fighting in the UFC, but also fought one fight, I guess, in Bellator. Flyweight, 12-3 Canadian Chris the Greek Assassin Kalaitis. You know, he's taken on 15-6 Alexander Plotnenko. Plotnenko, he's 23 years old, but he had 11 pro fights between 2012 and 2013. So definitely take the Canadian Kalaitis to get the win. And interesting, you get to see a guy that, that used to fight in the UFC fighting over an M1. So probably the biggest card this weekend. You've got UFC Fight Night 131, Rivera Moraes. The best part of the entire event is that the poster says no excuses, which is kind of a throwback to when they were supposed to fight in December. And, you know, Jimmy Rivera said, oh, I'll fight you if you, even if you weigh 155, 160. Like, I'll fight you whatever weight class. So it's kind of neat. So that's, like I said, your main event. You know, Jimmy Rivera, 21-1. He's won his last 20 fights. You know, used to be more of a boxer. Now he's more of a point fighter. Getting a lot of decisions in there. His only loss is about 10 years ago, so 15 decisions in those 21. Last finish was in 2015 against Marcus Brimage. So, in my opinion, right now, today, barring any changes, I'd pick Jimmy Rivera to win the fight. However, Marlon Moraes, you know, really sneaky fighter, got the KO knee win against Aljamain Sterling in his last fight. He had a streak where he won 13 fights in a row, and then he had a split decision loss to Rafael Assuncao. So, he's 25-1. Don't sleep on Moraes. I'm pretty sure Rivera's the favorite in that fight, but that should be a good main event. You know, I didn't mention it yet, but had Zane Simon on today. We did a 45-minute interview, and the audio didn't work out, but we covered this card, and one of the things that we had said, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again here coming up next week, the two of us, you know, some of these cards, it's kind of tough for the casual fan to get into them, because you look at it, you know, your main event, it's a 135 main event, couple names that, you know, a lot of people have heard of, but it's kind of difficult to draw fans in. As well, your co-main, to me, it's probably the fight of the week, fight of the night. You've got 11-0 Gregor Gillespie, classically trained wrestler, 4 wins in the UFC. He's got power in those hands, taking on 11-1 Vince From Hell Pichel. Two bangers. I mean, Pichel, 8 knockout wins and his 11 total wins. It's going to be an all-out brawl. I think if Gillespie can get it to the ground, get the TKO, it'd be awesome. And I've got Gillespie to win, but it's hard to bring in fans when you've got talent like this. I mean, I respect these guys tremendously. I'm interested in the fight, but it's hard to kind of grow your fan base when there's so many cards and you've got a lot of fights that some people might scratch their head on and they might skip out on it, but I'm very excited about it. You know, fight before that, you got Walt Harris and Daniel Spitz. Kind of tough, you know, Harris 10-7, but all those 10 wins have come by knockout. He's got 2 losses in a row, you know, that tough one to Verdum, short notice where he got submitted, and fighting against Mark Godbeer where he got the pretty bad disqualification when he went to punch after the ref had stepped in. And then, you know, Daniel Spitz, 6-1. He's got 2 knockouts and 3 submissions on his record, but he's not really a submission guy. Lost to Mark Godbeer as well at UFC 209. He beat you win some, you lose some. Anthony Hamilton, back when they had that fight night with David Branch and Luke Rockhold, but it's a tough one. Like I said, I'll make my picks on Friday, but preview the fights for you anyway, so you know who's on the card. A couple of familiar names that most people would know, even if you haven't watched, you know, UFC in a while. You've got Jake Ellenberger taking on Ben Saunders at welterweight. Ellenberger, since 2013, has gone 2-7. Lost his last fight by knockout, and it was a brutal knockout by Mike Perry, which was on the Swanson-Lobov fight night, which that one's a head-scratcher. Ben Saunders, 2-3 in his last 5, got knocked out pretty bad by Al Joban his last fight, so that's a tough one. I take Saunders. I think he's a little longer. Should be a half-decent fight, I guess. That one's on your main card. Some of the exciting fights on here, like you've got Julio Arce taking on Daniel Timor. Jean Volante, Sam Alvey, they're pretty equally matched, so that should be pretty good. Lauren Murphy and Eubanks, I mean, should be decent. David Taymor, who I think's really good. He lost his pro debut, but, you know, he beat Jakar Close in his last fight. And Jakar Close was something to be reckoned with. I mean, he had beaten Mark Chiesa and David Taymor. I think he's on to something there at lightweight, taking on Nick Lentz too. I mean, Nick Lentz, 7 knockout wins, 11 submissions, 10 decisions, 28 overall pro fights, and he beat Will Brooks in his last fight. And you know what? Will Brooks is a tough out. I mean, he's in PFL now. You'll see him in the next, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks here coming up. And I mean, former Bellator champ Will Brooks, he didn't really get a great shake in the UFC, but definitely a good fighter. I've also got, you know, Bilal Muhammad's on the card, taking on Chance Roncontre. Roncontre, he's more of a regional guy, 12-2. It says here, I'm looking at Tapology, he's the number one rated welterweight in Oklahoma, and he's taking on the number 32 ranked welterweight in the world. And, you know, Bilal Muhammad, 3 decisions in a row. He beat Tim Means, the Dirty Bird. He beat Jordan Meehan and Randy Brown. So, Randy Brown, you saw, beat Mickey Gall in his last fight. Another good fight I see on the card, Desmond Green taking on Gleison Tibau. You know, Tibau got knocked out pretty badly in his last fight. Desmond Green didn't really get a fair shake either. He took on Michael Prazeres in Brazil. And I know Prazeres was dealing with some family issues and whatnot, but I believe he was about 5 pounds plus overweight, missed weight in that fight. And kind of a shame for Desmond Green, really. We've also got Jessica Aguilar taking on Jody Escobel. I take Aguilar so far right now. You know, I think she's got 2 losses in a row. 19-6 overall. Definitely a recognizable name out there. Another one that's you know, a casual fan, or if you're just kind of tuning into the UFC after being away for a while, you've got 28-11 Johnny Eduardo taking on Nathaniel Wood. And Nathaniel Wood's actually one of the top bantamweights in Europe right now. 13-3 as well. So that should be a good fight. And then so far right now, the way it stands, there was an injury to Hector Sandoval, so they threw in Jose Torres, 7-0, Jose Shorty Torres, 15-0 total if you count as pro and his amateur fights. And so this is his UFC debut. Well-rounded guy. Should that could be a banger of a fight at flyweight. And I mean, Jared Brooks, 13-1. He's got 2 knockouts, 5 submissions, and he lost his last fight by split decision. So should be a good fight overall, and set you up well for your weekend. I mean, you got this on Friday. Also on Friday, you've got LFA 41 from Prior Lake, Minnesota. Your main and your co-main event, they're both lightweight fights. Main event, 9-2, Thiago Moises taking on 9-4, Jeff Peterson. And then your co-main, you've got 10-0, Kilis Mota taking on 8-1, Bobby Lee. So, again, on Friday, I'm going to give you more of a breakdown on the LFA card. I'll go over UFC a little bit more, make my picks. That's just about it for episode 14 of the podcast. As well, I'll go over the boxing fights. There's a few on Friday as well as Saturday, but not a whole lot of MMA action this weekend. Don't forget to subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher for those of you listening on Android. You know, I'd like to thank my sponsors, First Row and Sisu. And I'll be back again on Friday. We'll have another guest for you as well. So pretty excited about this one. And we just keep things rolling here. So we'll see you again on Friday.